The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
I appreciate that prayer, brother. That's very sweet. It's so good to be here with y'all. I'm very glad that Brother Luke asked me. There's something that had been on my mind ever since this weekend that I wanted to talk to you about. Something that has both encouraged me, but it's also discouraged me. And you know, we were talking about, he was mentioning earlier about how the truth is so greatly and openly received there in Africa, and how, why can't we have that here, you know? And part of it is because this, our culture, fills everybody up with all this trash. And I ate some Pringles before I left the office, and I'm not hungry anymore because I filled myself up with trash, right? And that's what happens in our culture, and it's discouraging. And I don't want to see that happen to this church. You are some of my best friends, and I love you dearly, and I love this church dearly. And I want to see this church here for my grandchildren, for my children to be able to experience the joy of the kingdom of God. And so how do we do that? I'd ask you to turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, we'll go there first. And so what I want to talk to you about is I want to talk to you about being the best version of yourself possible. To be able to stretch what you can possibly do. And the way I want to do that, there's so much in the scripture about this, about your full potential, unleashing your full potential in the kingdom of God. There's so much about that. But I really want to break it down into two categories. And within those categories, I'll break it up too. But the first is going to be focused on yourself, on how you can be the best version of yourself possible, how you can reach your full potential. And then the second category that we're going to talk about is how do you build up your brothers and sisters in Christ? How do you make them be the best version of themselves? So we're going to focus on the individual first, on yourself. Think about yourself here and assess yourself. So the first thing that you need to do in order to be your best self, as they may say out in the world, is to seek the truth, to understand the truth of the gospel. And if you understand it, to remember it, to re-remember it over and over again. And this is what it says here in Colossians 2. And I'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Notice this, Paul is writing this to this church in a similar manner in which I address you right now. I want you to be the very best that you can possibly be. I want people to know this church by the people here. And so this is what he's telling them. He says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Nothing encourages me more than to see a child of God following Jesus with everything they have. But on the other side of that, nothing discourages me more than seeing a child of God who is not seeking Jesus and who is just floundering out there. Verse 7, "Rooted and built up in him established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And look at this, there's a warning. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There are all kind of teachings out in the world that will try to entice you and bring you away from the simplicity of the truth in Jesus Christ. There are all kind of messages out there that will seek to burden you, put a bondage on you, a yoke that you can't bear. Say you've got to save yourself. You've got to be worried. If you're living a sinful life, you're probably going to hell. Or if you haven't accepted Him, or if you haven't been baptized, all sorts of conditions they will put on you. And that's bondage. That scares me. How can I be the best version of myself when I'm always worried about whether the blood of Christ was really good enough for me? Look at the answer to this. It says in verse 9, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in Whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead." Notice this, it's all about the power of God. It's not about you. It's about what He's done and His operation of faith. "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." It's not something that you should worry about anymore. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." We ought to believe, because the Bible teaches us, that when Jesus died on the cross, we died with Him. Our sins were nailed there. And when He went into the grave, our sins went into the grave, never to return again. Turn with me over to 1 Peter. I want to emphasize this again. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now notice we're talking about understanding the truth of the gospel in order to be to meet your expectations, in order to be the best version of yourself you possibly can be. Verse 18 of 1 Peter 1 says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." We don't believe that we're redeemed by our works or by these trinkets or by gold. You know, it was a big problem in the Middle Ages where people thought our priest took their office and they abused it, and they said, "You can pay me and I'll forgive you for your sins." And that has nothing to do with the truth of the gospel. And there's a reason we call that the Dark Ages, because it was a dark and terrible time for children of God, because they had no vision, no leadership, and they had people like that abusing their offices. Can you imagine the bondage of living under that? And Paul says it's not about that. It's about the blood of Christ. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." And look at this. I want to shift to our second point here, which is to love the brethren. Now, this is the second thing I want you to do in order to be your best version of yourself, is to love each other, to love your brothers and sisters. And we'll pick up right where we were. It's a continuation here. It says, "Seeing," in verse 22, "seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." This is This is the result of understanding and believing in the truth of the salvation by the blood of Christ. Is that those other people that you see out there who are covered in that blood too, you love them and you have a burden for them and your heart breaks for them when you see them out there laboring in order to get something that they already have. Let's go with me over to back over to Colossians 2. We were just there a second ago. Colossians 2 and verse 2. Paul says this, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. This is what we ought to be doing as brothers and sisters in the church. We ought to be loving one another. And an evidence to you that you are one of His is that you have that feeling for one another, that your heart is knit together. I feel that for all of you. I took some time today just in prayer, praying that the Lord would bless this church, that we might be sold out. Everybody might be sold out for Christ, live their life for Christ, but also that they might be the very best servant, the very best person that they can be in this life. I took the time to think about each one of you, and I didn't leave anybody out. I thought about all of you today and how much I love you and how much I feel that being knit together with you. It's an amazing thing. I would encourage you to encourage one another in that. All right, so the third thing you can do to be the best version of yourself, and this is the most important. I want you to pay attention to this one, because all the others will follow this one. Pursue Christ with everything you have. Let every breath that you take be another step toward experiencing Jesus, learning who He is. Let's go to Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Remember, I said earlier that when Jesus died on the cross, you died with Him. That means legally right now you are dead. The only life that you have is represented in Christ right now in heaven. And so why should I be so bent out of shape and so focused on the things of this world when my life is in heaven right now? I ought to be yearning and pushing myself to know more about Jesus, to touch Him, to hear His voice, to love Him better, to serve Him better. Notice this, it says, it's not easy, obviously. It's not easy to do this. I get so frustrated in myself because I know that I want to see Jesus. I know that I want to know Him better, but I get so distracted. And here's what you do with that. It says, you mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Don't think that you can just sit there and play with the things of the world and then still seek the Lord. This is not a verse that tells you to seek the Lord greater than the members that are upon the earth. It says seek Him exclusively. And that convicts me, because I try to keep my toys and play with them, but it doesn't work that way. There are some things that get in my way and I need to get rid of them. I need to destroy them. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Wow. Now, not every one of these may strike you at first as being something that you struggle with. But I would tell you that in the dark parts of my mind, I go through these. And it's shameful. But we all experience this. Now, just because you don't act on that doesn't mean that you're some great person. good for you. You shouldn't act on these. But the point is, we need to be killing that. We need to be killing these things. Even something as simple as not letting filthy communication out of your mouth. Now, they say, oh, well, that's easy. I don't cuss. You know, if you do, I would encourage you to stop. This is something that you can control. But say that you don't cuss. Well, there are other things that can come out of your mouth that are not edifying, right? That gets me a lot. I will say just about anything in order to get a laugh, right? And that is a dangerous place to be. Don't let filthy things come out of your mouth. We need to be encouraging one another, not tearing each other down. We don't need any help being torn down, right? The world does that just fine. The devil does that just fine. You do that just fine yourself. I need your help to build me back up, to keep me encouraged. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Notice this, your new man in you. And the fact that you are here tonight, the fact that you are sensitive to the things of the Lord is evidence that you have the new man in you. That's another topic. But that new man is renewed. It can be renewed over and over again. And it says it's renewed daily. Renewed after the knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Studying the Lord, studying His Word, and not just studying this as a historical thing. I want you to think about this when you're studying the Word. Think about this as I'm gathering information about my Savior. Maybe you're, you know, we haven't seen Him in the flesh, sure. But, you know, a sketch artist, they can hear information about this person and they can sketch out a little rough sketch. And that's what we can get from the Scripture, is that we can get a little bit more information about our Savior, and we can begin to sketch out the boundaries of His goodness and of His love and of His grace. And so think about that when you're studying the Word. You're learning more about Him, and it is renewing your inward man. And that is how you're able to mortify these things. That's how you're able to seek the Lord better. It's when you're renewed. And you may be like me. I sometimes know that I need to study the Word or just read the Word. And I say, well, where do I start? I'm in between studies. Or look, if that really is a problem, just open up and read. You can read almost anywhere. I go to the Psalms. And just reading it will begin to renew you. And you can begin to feel that again. Jesus says, speaking of pursuing Jesus, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom. Now, I told you that some of these bad things here that we're supposed to mortify, that we can't just play with them. Well, there's a lot of things in this life that are not bad things that aren't Christ, right? What about our family? What about our fellow church members? There are a lot of things in this life that are good things. You know, for a lot of you young people, you may be interested in pursuing someone or courting someone. I'm not asking you, and the Bible's not saying to you that you can only pursue Jesus, that you can only do that alone and you've got to put everything to the side. No, I'm not asking you to do that. The Bible doesn't ask you to do that. It says, seek ye first the kingdom. Let that be your focus, and all these other things will be added to you. If you're worried about, if you're at a crossroads in your life, this applies to anybody. Seek ye first the kingdom. Would this decision make me a better servant to the Lord? Would this decision bring me closer to the kingdom? Seek the kingdom first, and everything else, the Lord will take care of that. So pursue Christ. That's our third point. The fourth one is to embrace your place in life and fulfill your role. What do I mean by that? Now, this is, I listened to a sermon recently by Brother Luke, and he said that if he was preaching this in front of the university, they would kick him out, or they'd put him in jail or something, or kill him. Well, this goes for this too. Listen, there are people out there. There are lots of different people, but I can break you down into two categories, okay? Males and females, right? There's really no gray area there, okay? You're born a male or you're born a female. Now, I hope that you understand what I say when I say this. Embrace who you are. Okay, if you're born a male, embrace that. Live like that. There's nothing uglier to me and nothing uglier to the Lord than somebody trying to be somebody that they're not, right? Than somebody who is saying, well, I don't want to conform to what God tells me I'm supposed to be, and so I'm going to do this other thing. You're not serving anything by doing that. So let's go over, well, actually, let's read while we're here, Colossians 3 and verse 18. And this, you know, obviously I said, you know, male and female, but we've also got different ages, and at different parts of your life, you have different roles that you're to fulfill. You've also got, you know, you've also got the ministry, and you've got people that aren't called to the ministry. You've got all kind of different category breakdowns. You ought to be doing... It's not that you're supposed to be the... I'm not supposed to be the best woman I can be. I'm supposed to be the best man I can be. I trust that I'm called to preach. I'm supposed to be the best preacher that I can be. You get what I'm saying? I'm not supposed to be somebody else. I'm supposed to be me. God made you. You don't have to be somebody else. Be yourself. And just see what happens. See the beauty that you can bring to your brothers and sisters in Christ by being yourself. But not just being the nasty old you, being the very best you. So here we go. Colossians 3:18 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Notice this, that was a lot of different categories of people. This is a good template for how you ought to live your life if you fit into one of those categories. Now, the verse 22, the servants... I'll just say this, it's not talking about slaves necessarily. If you are employed by someone, then this ought to apply to you, regardless of how much you respect that person. You ought to be working and serving to the glory of the Lord. Now, it makes it easier if you have a good boss, but that is beside the point. All right, then we go to Titus 2. Titus chapter 2, and this is perhaps one of the best breakdowns in the different categories of people and how to be the best that you can be. Titus 2 and verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience." Wow, this sounds a lot different than what the world tells you, doesn't it? They tell you that a man has got to look a certain way. They say that a man's got to be this John Wayne guy, right? He's tough and he doesn't take anything from nobody. But this says here that you're sound in charity and in patience. You're a patient, kind, loving person. I'm so thankful that I see so many fathers out there that fit this. But notice this, it doesn't say that you have to be a preacher But it does say that you have to be sound in the faith. Each one of you fathers should strive to be able to explain to your family the word of the Lord, to be able to give an answer, to be sound and unwavering in the truth and doctrine. That requires a lot of work. To be grave and temperate. It doesn't mean that you can't be a happy person, that you can't be a joking person. It just means that when it's time to be serious, you can be serious. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now we believe, and the Bible is very clear, that women should not be here, up here at this position, teaching. But that does not mean that you sisters don't have such a beautiful, incredible role in the lives of every one of us, and the way that you teach. Not just in the way that you teach up the little ones to come up, but also you have taught me many things in the way that you respond to adversity, in the way that you love others, in the way that you serve. But it certainly does apply to teaching the young women, verse 4, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Something here that I think is probably extremely applicable to our day and age, which is to be chaste. And I would encourage you all to go onto the podcast and listen to Brother Luke's sermon on modesty. It was love or lust. What are you promoting? It was phenomenal. It was very encouraging to listen to, because I've experienced that many times. I'm out in public, and then I see these. It could be my sisters in Christ. I don't know. They're not looking like it, but they could be. And they're wearing these things that are not really encouraging me to be loving and encouraging me to be a good person. I would encourage you, sisters, the world may beg you and pull you in that direction, but please do not go there. It is the most discouraging thing in the world to see that. And as Brother Luke pointed out, what you're doing in trying to dress that way, obviously you're trying to get some attention. And you will get it. And it's not going to be what you want. But I know that you sisters probably never think this way. But I would like to just show you from a man's perspective, from a brother's perspective who has grown up trying to be as holy as I can, that you're not just, it's not just something that you're hurting your own reputation when you wear those kind of things. You are hurting your brothers in Christ. It hurts. And if you think about it, it's really sort of a evil thing to do, because what you're doing is you're enticing them and saying, "Don't you want a little bit?" But no, you can't. It's really sort of an evil thing to do. But rather, you could dress appropriately and instead speak with the love in your heart and in your actions. And what does that do? Not only does that give you a good reputation, attract the right kind of attention, but also that encourages everyone around you to be a better version of themselves, right? When I see that, especially now when all you see on social media and out there in the world is the opposite. When I see you sisters doing what is right and dressing in the right way, it makes me love the Lord even more. It makes me be encouraged all the more. All right, verse 6. It says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Y'all remember over this past year, there was the Supreme Court nomination, and they were all looking into this judge's past behavior in college, right? Now, other than that, he looked like a squeaky, clean guy, right? But there were just a few things that he had in his past that came up and haunted him. It didn't just affect him. It affected his whole family. Now, this is what this is talking about. It says, live in such a way that when people oppose you, they have nothing to grab hold of. They have nothing to hold against you. Now, you young men may feel like you're on top of the world. You may feel like nothing can go wrong. But it can and it will. Also, you brothers, regardless of whether you're called to preach or not, you need to be studying the Word and be sound in the faith. You ought to be able to give an answer. And that's a challenging thing to do. But you ought to be striving for that. Okay, let's move on. So we've talked about how to be your best self. And so the last thing that we'll talk about is how to encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ to be their best self, to be the best version of them. Hebrews chapter 10. Go with me over there. To Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. And I just want to say this as we kind of start this. This is focused on others, focused on other people. Now, Jesus warned about correcting others before we have removed the beam out of our own eye, right? Well, I'm not asking you to correct your brothers and sisters. I'm asking you to encourage them. It's something very different. Not to tear down, but to build up. Now, this is something that you ought to be doing freely and liberally. So, just because you don't have your life together yet doesn't mean that you can't encourage. We ought to be encouraging one another because we will never be in a state where I've got it all figured out, so now I can encourage people on this part of my life that I have together. So Hebrews 10:24, with that in mind, says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." As we mentioned before, kind of as a very open example of modesty, you know, you've got one way of dress that provokes to something that's forbidden, and one way of dress that might provoke into love, to good things. Well, it's obviously not just about how you dress, but how you speak and how you live, how you interact with each other. Let that be your focus. How can you serve this person? And if it helps you to think about it this way, oftentimes I've said, how can I help this person? And sometimes that's not the right way to approach it. Sometimes that I get in the way. I could go and I could do something really sweet and really great, but maybe that's not the way it was supposed to be. Maybe that's not what the Lord intended or what He wanted. Instead, I want you to ask, what does this person need? Take yourself out of the equation. What does this person need? It may just be that you're not the person to go and to go and help. It may be that you are, but it may be that you just need to be praying for that person. That is, do not take that as accepting defeat when you say, all I can do is pray for brother so-and-so. Man, that is an amazing thing. You are bringing that brother's name or that sister's name before the King of Glory who made this world. That's a sweet thing. It almost makes me come to tears to think about how sometimes people might bring my name before the Lord of Glory. And how I bring your name before the Lord of Glory also. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We ought to be getting together. Now, yes, we're together right now. We're together on Sundays whenever we see each other. But I think that means a little more than just once a week for a hour-long period of time. That makes me so sad to think about that, to think about only seeing you for 60 minutes a week. We ought to be seeking each other out, to be with each other outside of this. Because what good does it do? What good does it do to encourage one another if we're not with each other? How can I pick you up off the ground if I'm never with you? And he says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I have two thoughts on this. Either it's talking about the day where we worship him, we're getting together and provoking each other to have the right mindset when we come together to worship, or maybe like an annual meeting or something like that. But it also could mean as we see the world going down, and as we see the Lord, as it getting closer to the time for him to come back, then we ought to definitely be wanting to encourage one another all the more during that time. All right, and then let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and then we'll begin to wrap this up. We're going to look at verse 6. Now, the Lord has given you some things, has given us some things to be able to build each other up in the church. He didn't just set up the church and say, have fun. I hope you do it right. The Lord gave us not only guidelines, but he also gave us gifts. Now, a lot of times we think about the New Testament church and the very early stages where the Lord was just pouring out his spirit and people were able to speak in tongues and where people were able to heal people. We don't have that anymore necessarily. But the Lord still gives us gifts. And I've compared this before in a sermon to superpowers. Because it is something, it's supernatural, something that the Lord gives you. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, this could mean forth-telling as in preaching. It could also mean just having wisdom to be able to foresee that if you follow this course of action, this will result. Man, that is so awesome to have you older brothers and you older sisters to be able to tell me that if you follow this course of action, this is what's going to happen. It's good to have that. It spares others from a lot of heartache. Let's see. Verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. And this doesn't just mean ministers as in preachers. This means serving, being a servant. There are so many of you that I would put in the encyclopedia of a servant, of a minister in this way. You have that gift. Use that gift. The Lord didn't give it to you for you to hide it away. Use it. He says, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Exhorting is encouraging. Do you have the ability to encourage others, either through your actions or through your words? If you have that, use that. What good does it do if you sit on that? He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, if you're a good leader, use that to the glory of the Lord. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. So we have just a list of a few of these gifts that are given, and sometimes people will have more than one. And I believe that it's given to you the proportion of grace, meaning that just like the parable of the talents, the Lord sees someone who is using those talents, those gifts, he may just give more to you. Or, on the other hand, if he's given you a gift and he sees that you never use it, he very well may just take it away from you. So I would encourage you, find out what your gift is if you don't know what it is. and use it. Begin to use it to encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, last thing. Obviously, pray for one another. We've already kind of mentioned this. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And look, there are so many verses on praying for one another. This is sort of, not only is it good for you, it strengthens my love for you when I pray for you. Even if there's something about some person, and I say that hypothetically because none of you frustrate me. But even if there's some brother or sister that frustrates you, pray for them. That will build that love for that person. So not only is it good for you, but it's certainly good for that person, for you to be praying for your brothers and sisters. And as I said, it is all throughout the Scriptures, that commandment to pray. But I want to just read this specific verse for a reason. Colossians 4, verse 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us." So notice this. We ought to be praying for each other, regardless of who they are. But specifically, I would ask you to begin, if you're not already, praying for the ministers, praying for those who are preaching and trying to follow the Lord's leading and leading you. It says, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as ought to speak. Now, we ought to be praying for open doors. I would encourage you, write that down. Add that to your prayer list. Pray for open doors. I use this example. I know you've heard this before. But years ago, before there was really any Primitive Baptist activity in Africa, right? Brother Vernon Johnson sat down. He had a burden to pray for open doors. And so that church got together and they prayed for that. They had a special meeting even to pray for open doors. They had no idea what that would look like, right? They prayed for that. For one, the Bible tells us that we ought to be doing that. But you know what happened? Not long after that, he got contacted by people who had found him out over the internet. And now there are hundreds of Primitive Baptists over there, loving the Lord, serving him, all because somebody listened to the guiding spirit to pray for open doors. Now, imagine if we all devoted ourselves to that, prayed for open doors. Maybe, there's some people here, even in our communities, that could benefit from a door of utterance being opened up. I pray that's an encouragement to you. And just, look, let me just remind you of what we talked about tonight. We talked about, for one, being the best version of yourself. And then secondly, helping your brothers and sisters be the best version of themselves. How do we do that? You seek Jesus with everything you have. And all these other things will sort of follow behind that. What are those things that follow after that? You love each other. You love your brothers and sisters in Christ. You seek and you understand the truth of the gospel. That sets you free from a lot of bondage that would slow you down in your pursuit of Christ. And also, you embrace who you are, who God made you to be. Don't embrace the flesh. Don't use it as an excuse. People do that all the time where they say, well, I was just made this way, so I'm not going to try to be any different. I'm talking about God made you to be a good, perfect person. We're falling short of that. But strive to be like Christ and then help your brothers and sisters by provoking them to love, using your spiritual gifts and praying for them. I hope that's an encouragement to this church.